Hello, and welcome to another episode of the All Good in the Brotherhood podcast, the podcast of the Benedict Project. My name is Brother Francisco Whitaker, and I'm a Benedictine monk and deacon of St. Vincent Archabbey in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. And I am joined by a good buddy and former rugby teammate of mine, Daniel Sheerden, or Dan. Does anyone really call you Daniel?
Just my family.
Yeah, okay. So
either one's fine.
Dan the man. And we are in his house out in the South Hills-ish Washington County area, where he runs his own business out of his house.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that. Just a little intro. If you had to give your 5-minute sales pitch about yourself, or not even 5 minutes, 2-minute sales pitch.
2-minute sales pitch. I was in college and realized that I know finance can be great, but what if I didn't want to work in finance and work a job that I hate? So I just saw people on TikTok selling stuff on Amazon. And so I would just sit there and DM them all kinds of questions I could think of. I'd sit there in class and not pay attention, and I would write down questions about the Amazon business, and I just kept DMing and emailing them, and then I bought a course and took a few $1,000, invested everything I had, and just flipped and flipped and flipped it, and now 5 years from now, I've done more than 1 million in sales, so just growing it up.
And literally mostly in shoes.
Yeah, right? I flipped more than $1 million worth of shoes.
That's crazy. And also, super beneficial to be your friend because
you get all the shoes and cleats you want.
And some high quality stuff. I mean, yeah. The last two marathon I ran and like marathon relays I've ran have all been courtesy of Dan's business. My cleats that I have now were an ordination gift. I don't know if the cleats I had in rugby though were from you. I think I've gotten those.
Yeah, those weren't me.
Which that attests to why they were such bad quality.
Even my rugby cleats, like I couldn't find the deal on because the cleat market at the time, I was making money off of it, but it was so sporadic with the inventory. I just had to pay, you know, an outrageous price for my cleats, but that's just what it was back then. So
yeah. So speaking of rugby, that's sort of a little bit how Dan and I got to know each other. So he was a college student, while I've obviously been a monk for several years. So when I was a junior monk, I think. What year did you start college? 2019, 2020?
2020. Yeah, okay. It was 2020.
Okay, 2020. So the year I took Simple Vows was Dan's freshman year. And with COVID, I don't think we really knew each other at all when you were a freshman.
No, I was playing baseball as a freshman. Okay. And like with COVID, you couldn't even leave your pod. There was nothing really going on, nothing to do. So I just kind of played baseball and that was about it. But then my sophomore year came around, I quit baseball, and I started playing rugby and joined this guy's Strength Finder small group and stuff, so it kind of picked off from there.
Yeah, and then I only played rugby because of him. Like, you're absolute, if anyone wants, like, just the one, a big hype man, but also, like, one of the most persistent SOBs that you'll ever meet, it's this guy. Your recruitment for the team was crazy just because you would never take no for an answer, including when I told him, like, dude, I'm a monk. Like, it's not going to happen.
But you're also athletic and we need a hooker, so.
Okay, so for those who don't know rugby, hooker is a position. They didn't need a team hooker, but they did at the same time. They needed the position. It's called the number two. And your job is literally to what's called hook the ball. When you're in these, they're called scrums, but when the two teams basically, you know, push and shove each other back and forth over the ball, and the hookers are the ones responsible for kicking it out of the big mess. But what made you think, so this, we're going to PG-ify this story a little bit, because Brother Francisco did not have the cleanest mouth at this intervention, but what made you initially think that I should play rugby?
Well, we started playing flag football together, and all I knew was there was this guy named Cisco who was fast, and we ended up losing the game by a lot, and it was like midnight, and there were some bad words being said, and so I knew he was athletic, and so I was just trying, once I joined the team, I was trying to get any able-bodied person, because when I first joined, we barely had enough to field a team, and then any able-bodied person, I'm like, do you breathe? All right, go play, you're perfect for this, and some people picked it up easier than others. A lot of people quit. But no, he stuck with it, and he was fast enough to get around people, and he said he wasn't afraid to tackle. So,
and that's true. And what's funny is I never played football or like really any major contact sports. I played a little bit of soccer. But otherwise, like I played volleyball and track, which are, you know, your whole goal is not to hit the other team. And so it was funny how like I even got allowed to play rugby as a monk. because, so I actually had tried to play for the collegiate men's volleyball team, and that just didn't work out, and so I thought, whatever. Well, I had a meeting with my junior master after Dan had asked, like, do you want to play rugby? And I was like, I can't. And he said, do you want to play rugby? I said, I can't. And he said, all right, well, my coach is going to call you. And I said, Dan, I said I can't play rugby. So I get a call from his coach, and he's like, hey, so I hear you want to play rugby. I'm like, that is such false advertising. I mean, that would be nice, but I never said I could do this. And he goes, all right, well, great. We got our first a practice for newcomers this Thursday, Wednesday. I hope to see you there. And I was like, I got monk stuff on Wednesday. He goes, well, try to get out of it. Like, that's not how this works. Well, so I talked to my junior master. I'm like, hey, this is like a really crazy thing. They asked me if I wanted to play rugby, which is a club sport, and basically everywhere in the U.S. It's not like collegiate NCAA because it's just not how rugby is in the United States. Do you want to play? So I just presented it to him. Like, I'd love to. I wouldn't be as practiced every day of the week. It would just be a couple. I might have to miss some monk things every now and then. I might have to miss formation. Mm-hmm. And he goes, you know what? Go for it. He said, we had a history of monks actually playing sports, particularly baseball. Mm-hmm. That'd be a great way. You're already in campus ministry. This will be a way to minister to the guys. The rugby team's a little rough at times, although it actually was a pretty decent squad of guys, like, all things considered.
I mean, yeah, we would even say, like, litanies to the saints on the bus on the way to games and stuff. Mm-hmm. And we had our chaplain that would come do pregame prayers and all that stuff, too, so it was probably good to have, like, a real monk on the team, but also just, like, kind of fitting in, like, if you can play, they get, like, you get respect there.
Yeah,
you
know? Yep.
So.
And it was first, we had the alumni match, I think 3 days after my first time ever touching a rugby ball.
Yep.
And I got cleated, like, kicked in the face, like first tackle. And I was like, what am I doing? You know, this is, what a terrible choice. But what a fun season. So there's two, I don't know, versions of rugby, but one is 15s and the other is a 7. So 15 on 15 or 7 on 7. And the time of the game is different. The field size stays the same, but the play changes a little bit. So you're a much bigger fan of 15s, right? So why don't you talk about your position and maybe some of your memories of that year of rugby specifically?
I mean, my first ever experience playing was the same as yours because I just stumbled onto the field the one night to go throw the ball around, and 10 minutes later I'm on the team, and he's like, hey, you want to play? And I was like, yeah, sure. He's like, okay, we have game Saturday, you're starting. It was the alumni game, but it was in the, like, 2 degrees out, the snow, the wind, it was absolutely crazy, and I was getting the crap beat out of me, thinking, why am I doing this to myself? As soon as the game ended, I said, that was the most fun I've ever had in my entire life, and I was just hooked like that. But at my position, 15 on 15, it was just, I was what they called an undersized forward, so you're just kind of in the middle of it the entire time. And in those scrum downs where he was the hooker, I was at the position behind him, kind of shoving my head up his rear end, like 20 times a game.
Yep.
And so 15 on 15, you play one team, 40-minute halves, two halves, and you just kind of roll with it and just tackle the crap out of each other all game. Whereas 7 on 7, you go like tournament style, you'll play like 4 or 5 games in a day because mm-hmm. they're just 14-minute games, 1-minute halftime, 7-minute halves, and then it's over before you know it. So you'll play a bunch of different teams, and I preferred hitting over running. And 7 on 7, you have to run way more.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like running ever. I even told him when he was doing his marathon, you know, people that run marathons, you know that you don't have to, right?
I really like tackling too, but I definitely prefer the running over the tackling. That's why I really enjoyed sevens. Remember when you stole the pass? Yeah. So I didn't start initially as the hooker, actually. Yeah. Coach was originally thinking me to be a back line. But I think it was after our first game or second game, he just texted me and he said, how far can you throw a football? I'm like, I don't know. He goes, yeah. I said, I don't know. Maybe like 40 yards at best. And he goes, okay, well, after practice, I want to see how well you can throw a line out, which is in rugby, out of bounds doesn't have like the same like penalty that a lot of sports does. It doesn't necessarily switch sides. Sometimes going out of bounds is actually a desirable thing. But what it does, when you play it in, the hooker, whatever, throws the ball in over his head, and they lift up two people, which you were, the guy who got lifted off.
Typically, the locks, the 4 and the 5, they would be lifted. So I was, you know, taller, thinner. So they would lift me up, and I'd just kind of jump. And I don't think we ever missed a line out when you were throwing and I was jumping. Mm-hmm. I don't think we ever missed
it. No, I don't think so.
Our communication was just on key for that. And I get up there, you put it where I could grab it, and we never missed.
And the goal is so both teams put up a guy, and you have to throw it generally in between. You can't favor your side, because then it's a penalty, and then they get the ball. But we would all, we had a great system when we did lineouts.
Oh, especially in sevens, when it was only a few of us there. Yeah, like, we could see things in the field. It's like a quarterback in football. You see kind of a hole in the defense, and you know how to manipulate that. We would see something like that, give a quick signal, and then next thing that we scored, you know.
Just we scored off of so many lineouts in sevens, but yeah. So there was one time though, I rarely got the ball in 15s, but there was one time it should have come to me, but it did not because someone stole the ball as it was being passed to me.
Yeah. So was that your first game that you started?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, Cal U, I think.
Yeah, at Founders Field. We were down a lot of guys, so we didn't even have any backups with experience. So the coach even told me before the game, like, hey, you're not coming out. We don't have a backup for you. So if you're hurt, like, sorry, sucks for you. And the first few minutes of the game, you know, something happened. And then the scrum half, who's dishing the ball out, he was trying to throw to Francisco's pod. And I saw the ball kind of close to me. And I just grabbed it and ran. And then ran the wrong way. Got tackled. And he took exception to that.
Yeah, I called him out in the middle of... Was it the middle of the game?
It was right as soon as I grabbed the ball. You were flipping out.
And what's funny is his mom took a picture of that moment.
Yep.
Because she thought, like, oh, this is so great. And, that was...
And that was at the beginning of the game. But then 10 minutes later, on a line out again, this was a defensive line out. So the other team was throwing the ball in, but it still has to be down the middle. I jumped up and I grabbed it off of them and I threw it right to him. It was like a gift, just landed right to him, and then we were all good again.
It was an equal play. I'm pretty sure I got plowed as soon as I got the ball, but I at least felt justified. You know, things were equal after that.
Retained possession again, so it was still like an interception. It was a steal, at the very least. So,
do you have a favorite game or a favorite play or?
I mean, I gotta say my favorite game was Geneva. The semifinal game.
That was a really fun game.
Yeah, there was like frost on the field when we first got there on Saturday morning. And by the time, I had long sleeves on, but by the time game started, I'm like, it's getting kind of hot out. And the second half, the sun was pounding on us on the turf. And I just know it was back and forth. And winners goes to the championship. And so it was just a total slaughter fest. And right before halftime, we made a play where, you know, you threw it into me, I grabbed it, threw it to a scrum half, and we scored right before half, and as we're walking to the field for halftime, you said that the play was sexy.
I did. I think my exact words were, that was one of the sexiest things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Which, you know, when when I'm on the field, not to say I stop being a monk, I forget a little bit about my monasticism. This is also early on in my formation, just to put that out there, you know.
And that team, actually, they had a seminarian playing for them as well.
Yeah,
their A&M was a seminarian, their team chaplain, so it was kind of like a holy war in a sense, you know.
The Geneva's a very Presbyterian school, by them, if you could tell. So Presbyterian seminarian versus Catholic seminarian. Who would win? Well, he was a lot bigger than me, so when he tackled me, he annihilated me at one point. And I stood up and I dry heaved. I got hit so hard I was almost puking. And my coach was like, get running. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, give me 2 seconds to throw up here. But yeah, we did get to the championship that year. And then things went quite south.
That was a rough night for both of us.
It was, yeah.
Right before halftime, the scrum collapsed. And if you know rugby, that can be a dangerous play, especially if you're playing lock. And I don't even remember what happened, but the next 5 minutes I was stumbling over myself, and you can see me on video falling over nothing, and then eventually they took me out, and I was concussed. I was out for over 4 months before I was able to play again.
Which concussion was that? Was that your 7th? Or
6th. At that point, it was number 6. So
at that point. Yeah. They're all in your head, though, right?
Concussions, they're all in your head. They're not real. But, I mean, my first 3 weeks of playing rugby, I got a concussion, I fractured somebody's skull, and I broke someone's collarbone. And that didn't scare me away. It just made me more excited. So you gotta be a little bit crazy to enjoy the sport. But
yep, and I can attest to that. I didn't get injured at all during the regular season. Mm-hmm. So after the championship, we had one more game, which that was to get us into what if we had won against Clarion?
Was it the Rhino Bowl?
Something. Yeah. Yeah. So there was this other. They were not in our conference. We played them because they were the runner-up in their conference or something too. So yeah. One runner-up got to go into this like extra bowl or whatever. So we played them. The Grove City game didn't go well for me, not because of play, but because I really ticked my coach off. My brother and my nephew came because the field was close to where they were living at the time. And I hadn't played at all the first half. And I wasn't even sure if I was going to play at all the second half. So at halftime, I went and said hi to them, and then the whistle blew for the second half to start, and I talked to them for maybe 30 more seconds. Well, I jogged back on the field, but apparently it must have been when my coach was thinking about subbing me in, or he just happened to have me on mind, because he saw me, he's like, where the heck were you? I'm like, oh, my brother's over there, just saying hi. He goes, we are not here to be, like, fraternizing with anyone. I'm like, what the heck is your problem? And I'm curtailing a lot of what he actually told me. And he was just so ticked, which I was both annoyed at because it's like, it's my brother and it was halftime. Mm-hmm. But also I understood because like, it's a team and I was kind of not there, you know, with team spirit. But yeah, so he begrudgingly put me in with like 12 minutes to go at the end of the game when he was pretty sure we had lost, certainly. And it wasn't pretty. He played some ugly rugby.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the first half, it was like a one score game. It was not far gone at all, but we had more injuries come in the second half, and surprisingly, from our first game, we had every single starter still healthy, which is very rare in rugby.
Yeah, right.
But after the championship, I think we had five or six guys that were out, so it was an uphill battle from there, and that just didn't help. It just made things fall apart even worse when you have so many backups going in and just trying to beat a really good team like that. It was a rough night. So anyways,
because of that, we went and played Clarion University a couple weeks later. And I didn't start that game either, but the hooker who had started was not playing a good game. He had horrible lineouts, and if he listened, I don't think he listened to the podcast. But you know how well you played that game. It wasn't good. So my coach was like, "Go in and fix this crap." I was like, "Okay." And after what had happened the last game, I wanted to like prove that like I still was worth my medal to be in the game. So I went fanatic. Like as soon as the ball was out, I was like blitzing to tackle. And I had a good game. First like 20 minutes I was in that game might have been the best 20 minutes of 15s I played. The ball got deep into our territory. So Nick kicked it, which you can kick in rugby. For any of those people who listen and aren't familiar with rugby, sorry, we're not giving a big explanation. I might put like some pictures and demonstrations or whatever in this, but you can kick the ball to kind of, you know, get it away out of your position, kind of like soccer, but there can be turnover or you can pick it back up. Well, he kicked it and Clarion picked it up, but I was beelining down because I was hoping to tackle him and then steal the ball. Well, I did tackle him very successfully, but when I stood up, and I actually, to this day, have no idea how it really happened. I think his knee hit, like, landed on my hand. But when I stood up, my middle finger, which you can even see, like, it's still, like, not super straight. And if you look at it this way, it's definitely not.
Yeah, just flip the camera off real quick.
My finger was going that, like, off to the right. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I like sprinted to our captain who was on the field. I'm like, Ray, my hand. He goes, get off that field. So I like, at that point, I like casually jogged off. And my coach's like, what are you doing? And I showed him my hand. He goes, get to the ambulance. And some of my teammates were on the side and were like, yeah, you were like jogging over. You didn't have like a pain expression on your face at all. And then you held up your hand. You're like, oh my gosh. Luckily, even though we weren't playing Grove City, the game was in Grove City, mm-hmm. and my family's from Grove City, so my dad and my parents were there, so my dad actually took me to the ER. I think I've shown a picture of my dislocated finger on a video before, but I'm going to show it again. Here's the x-ray. The ER doctor said he had never seen a dislocation like that before. with my finger literally on top of the other part of my finger.
Yeah, I was on the sideline because I was out with a concussion for that game, and I just remember Ray yelled, like, we need a sub for Cisco, and the coach yelled, no, and you just got in there. And then you showed us your finger, and we're like, okay, never mind. I guess this is a pass. Because I was playing with a broken toe for half that season, too. And
I would have kept on playing if I could have.
Yeah, but I didn't come out of the game for the broken toe or sit out the next couple games for the broken toe, but it was just my pinky toe, so that didn't really count. But your middle finger's more important, I guess.
Yeah. So this was at the very end. This now happened, actually, almost 3 full years ago at this point. And it's still crooked and will be crooked for the end of my days, I guess. So that was right before finals. So I took finals with this cast on my finger where I flipped everyone off. And you know what? It was nice.
It was really fun.
It was a lot.
Did you ever get a black eye from rugby?
I don't think I got a black eye. I dislocated my shoulder.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, in practice.
Popped it right back into place.
Yep, because why else? And then I got a concussion in my very last game. Or, no. No, last tournament.
Yeah.
You didn't
sit out from it, though.
No, I got pulled
because
of it. Yeah. But then the next game, the last tournament we ended up playing, which was a non-conference tournament, I still played. But that was the best rugby. That sevens tournament.
Oh, for both of us, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had this play where their biggest guy just kind of break through. And he had beat him like pretty early in that game where, you know, he just got by him because he was playing the sweeper, which is, if like football terms, he's the safety, the last line of defense. And he got by him before. It was like their best player. And this time he was, you know, broke through the first line again. It was just Francisco and this other guy. And he just drilled him, lit him up, and the stadium went nuts. It was pretty awesome to watch.
It was so exhilarating. Because this guy was, like, he's from Austria. He was, like, 6'3", and probably weighed at least 60 to 70 pounds more than me. And when he tried to juke me, I didn't bait this time. And I picked him up, and I slammed him to the ground. I was so satisfied. I scored 5 tries that tournament.
Yeah.
Which was awesome. There was on video on YouTube until someone took it down, which I was really sad. But there's a video of me actually breaking someone's ankles. It was so great.
Oh, I did that scrum.
Yeah.
I remember that play.
Went one way, he went that way, and then I cut back, and literally he just falls on his face. It was pretty great.
I think it was a different team, but a very similar time when I had that. It was probably the best hit of my career, that same tournament. I was on the end, and he was back at sweeper, and the guy was just focused on Francisco, trying to juke his way around Francisco, and I just came in from the side and blew him up, you know. And then as soon as that play ended, like, we had to break for, like, a thunderstorm, and all the team was just hyped under the stairs.
That's great.
It was really, really cool to go off that way with a huge momentum shift. We were up a little bit, too, so that was one of the few good sevens tournaments.
Yeah. Remember the one in Indiana, IUP?
Oh, where I got in towards the very end of the game, and you played the entire game, and you had this big breakaway, and we were going to lose no matter what. It's a 14-minute game, and so we were down by 3 scores last play of the game, but he has this, like, 99-yard breakaway, and he just run the entire game. I just got in there, and I'm just following him, like, yeah, you got it, you can do it, and then, like, they would have got to him, like, I would have been there to receive it, but he tapped it down, and you were just completely dead.
I've never been that gassed in my life. I don't think I've ever... The marathon, honestly, like, competes with... Or this tournament, that particular tournament, competes with running the marathon. I'm so tired. Wasn't it that tournament that you had that kick and, like, the chase?
Where I almost had the 80-yard kicking chase, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you were on the sideline, and I remember the coach said to you, like, that's the fastest I've ever seen Dan run.
And the longest.
And what did you say back? Or what did he say back?
I don't even...
Because Dan only runs when he effing has to.
Yeah.
Because we were down. It was like that tournament we had already lost, and so we weren't going to go to like the finals, the semifinals or the finals to win it all. That we didn't make top four. But the team that got fourth place, they left, and so coaches signed us back up for it. So we're in the locker room, all beat up, all tired. And he's like, "Guys, get your gear back on. We're going out there again to play."
Oh my gosh, we literally all changed.
Yeah, and, like, it was just... We were all pissed.
Yeah.
We were all not happy.
Because the wind was nuts.
Yeah.
No blockage. When our kicker tried to score the after try... is it a field goal? Is that what they call it?
Conversion.
Conversion, yeah. Which, it's 2 points instead of 1, like it is in football. He... Perfect kick. And it literally floated in front of the goal for like 2 seconds because it just, the wind was pushing it, and then it blew it backwards.
Yeah, and we just played rugby all day. We were all beat up. None of us wanted to go back out there, but we just wanted to play 2 more games. But the one game, it didn't matter at this point, so I just got the ball and just booted it. And I normally, I can't kick you can't kick either.
It was 2 very impressive things that we normally did not see out of him.
Yeah.
Kicking and running.
I'm not known for that. Like, see me kickball, it's not a pretty sight, but I kicked it and it just kept going and rolling in the wind. And just before I got to it where I was going to score and like outrunning their guys, because there's a symptom called try eyes in rugby where if you see the goal line with, you know, a lane ahead, you just turn it on to a different gear, and it just rolled into touch out of bounds right before I got to it. But it still flipped the field.
Yeah. Kind of accidentally, it still looked really awesome.
Yeah. That was the fastest I've ever run in my entire life, I think.
And probably the fastest you ever will run now.
Yeah, I don't think I'm running again like that. But yeah, what would you say is, was it like hard to transition from like being a monk, joining a team full of college guys, or was it just kind of like, we were just happy to have you from your end?
Honestly, that's one huge testament I would give to the rugby team, was just very willing to just kind of take someone new into the fold. And I think just back that I was a monk, really, for some of them, they thought that that was like the craziest, greatest thing ever. And especially when I like proved myself. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm not just here to like, just cause whatever, but I'm like a decent athlete.
Mm-hmm.
I think like being on the bus with you guys, like we would always, there was a tradition whenever we would pull out, right, Taylor Swift?
Oh, that's after we won. That was our victory song, was Love Story.
Okay.
And that kind of spawned, we beat St. Francis 104-5.
Oh my gosh,
and
I forgot
so
about that game.
It was just like, we were destroying them. This game actually was one of his first ones, and they didn't have enough guys, so he
had
to play
for the other team.
For their side, and we were just way better. They had very little experienced guys, so we just annihilated them. But towards the end of the game, he had a chance to score, and I was one-on-one against him, the only guy there to stop him. And he originally slipped through my tackle, but as I was on the ground, I pulled his ankle down. And, you know, he face-planted. And then our guy scooped and scored, and we ended up scoring. He was pounding the ground. It was awesome.
I was so mad.
It was awesome. And then even though your team lost, you were still with us. And the coach was mad at us for letting up one try and only scoring, what was it, 20 of our
own. I know. That was one of the – I was like, okay, so this is how coaching's going to go.
Yeah.
Why did you let – 5 points. You scored 104, but...
He said it was unacceptable, and then you just hear the Love Story start, and we just rolled the windows down, and everybody was screaming it, just kind of like, yeah, screw you. We're happy with this night, so... Yeah, and he even told us at halftime, because they didn't score at halftime, I'm like, alright guys, like, ease up on them a little bit. Like, still play hard, but, you know, this is kind of getting out of hand. Let them have a little bit of fun.
Well, literally, every time, if Billy got the ball, you scored.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy... Like, was he a linebacker or a
running back?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Huge and just so freaking fast. If he got the ball, it was pretty much lights out every time.
He was ball of space, and he was like tackling a rock. You know, a guy like Lance, who's like chubbier but can still really move. At least, you know, when you hit him, it's like there's a lot of fat there. It's a big pillow. But tackling Billy, that's like, you know, just running into a rock. So
he's the one who dislocated my shoulder, because in practice, we almost never really did tackling, like live tackling in like scrimmaging in rugby practice, because like you don't want to injure. Well, we decided to go live that night for like 10 minutes, right?
As soon as we started.
Like 30 seconds in. I get the ball and I've got like an open lane with Billy, and I'm full speed. Billy comes at full speed and just plows. And it wasn't the hit initially, it was just, but when I hit the ground, I just heard snap. And I just knew, like, well, that was my shoulder. I 1000% just dislocated it.
Yeah, and you told me right before that practice started, if I get hurt one more time, like, I can't play anymore. Was it the arch
abdomen? The arch abdomen, yep.
And I'm like, well, there goes his season.
But what did I do? I just didn't tell anyone. I put a cast underneath my habit, like a shoulder brace, but I couldn't. They told me, like, you need to hold it in a sling. And I was like, I can't do that, because then they'll know. So I put it in, I bought an arm brace, shoulder brace, put it in there. And then I just casually just kind of like held onto my scapular. Just like, because monks, like, this is kind of a resting position sometimes for monks, who just hold their scapular. So I just started doing it all the time. And no one like ever figured it out. My mom did. Very cool. Like, I went and visited, and I like sat down and I like adjusted and I made a wince. And she said, did you do something to your shoulder? I'm like, how obvious is it? She said, well, to your mom, it's very obvious. She said, to most men, you know, like, that you live with, they probably wouldn't know. But the this was funny. The shoulder brace I wore, like, kind of beefed up my shoulder a little bit. And someone, like, I gave someone a hug, and he, like, patted my shoulders, like, man, dude, you've been working out. I'm like, yep, that's it. That's what I've been doing. Yeah, so I got away with still playing because the abbot just never found out. And when I got my concussion, I really didn't tell anyone that either because there was still a chance of playing more at the end of that season, which we did. And, you know, they don't know. I wrote a 20-page paper with that concussion, and I still got an A. So
I took you to the hospital that night. Yeah, and you got in trouble because you were late to the monk function, yeah, too. So.
Like, you said you were supposed to be back in time. I'm like, yeah, the bus was late.
Yeah.
Yeah, some dishonesty, I gotta admit. You know, if the abbot is listening, because I think he does listen to these sometimes, mm-hmm, apologize, Father Abbot, for my little bit of fib in there. But I wasn't in solemn vows, so it's not as bad.
Doesn't count, yeah.
yeah, definitely, that's how it works.
I actually emailed Archevin Martin to try to let you play another year after you played the 1 year, because there was two factors. There was, is he allowed to play with the injuries that he's had in the monastery, but also, like, he was past the age gap. And so, in a desperate attempt to keep him on the team the next season, I sent the Archabin an email kind of begging him and saying all the good works that he did for the team and how he really spread the word. I'm like, you never know. Like, some of these guys, they could be monks one day if he stays on the team. Like, it's good for recruitment. But
Did he ever email you back?
No. I tried my best, though.
Nah, I don't care.
Yeah. It's funny you say that about your mom, because my mom had the exact same reaction after one of my games. When I broke my toe, my Joel, if you listen to this, he was like, dude, it's all in your head, when I said my toe was messed up. And my mom took me to get food after the game, and I kept hobbling around. She's like, no, there's something wrong. You need to get that checked out. I'm like, no, Mom, I'm fine. I'm not missing the other game. I took my sock off. It was black and blue. I'm like, oh, this isn't good. But it was just the toe. It wasn't the foot that was broken. So they let me. Well, I'm not sure if I was supposed to, but I just played through it. So
they went ahead and did it anyway. That's a rugby player right there.
Oh, yeah. And that black eye that I got, that was the one time at practice.
Oh, yeah. I forgot, like, about that.
I got up from running into my teammate's head, smiling and laughing, because I knew how cool it was going to look. And I probably made up 10 different stories telling people.
You actually went to class.
Yeah.
Because, like, you had something to contribute, and not, like, you know, that you had read anything. Oh, but
yeah, I would walk in and, like, I get reactions, and I would just try all kinds of different things. Most people wouldn't believe me, but, I mean, I walked into a staff meeting as, like, a prefect RA, and my boss was like, what happened to your face? And I was like, oh, yeah, so, like, I told this resident to turn their music down, and they clocked me. Don't worry, I hit them right back there. They're passed out on the floor. But don't worry, boss, I got them. And she was like, rugby? I'm like, yeah, rugby.
Yeah. No, yeah. Nate got a black eye playing rugby.
Oh, yeah?
Nate started down in a rugby. So Tom played rugby when he was in college, and then I started playing rugby for St. Vincent. Nate did not play any collegiate rugby, but he started playing at a group down in D.C. Mm-hmm. And he's actually, I don't know how much you talked to him about rugby, but he's been doing pretty well.
Yeah.
But for his first game, he got a huge black eye, and he was also very proud of it.
Yeah. So. Well, that's the thing, is, like, the little bit that it hurts, and, like, it hurt to chew for a couple days, but the reward of, like, getting that shiner and how cool it looks, yep, like, I think it's worth it every day, if you ask me.
I got a black eye this summer, too, but it had nothing to do with rugby.
He was playing a vigorous game of Capture the Flag with the tough 7th graders, 6th graders?
10-year-olds.
10-year-olds, yeah.
Yeah. At a Catholic Fangland in Ohio, I was assigned to play Capture the Flag with these 10, 11-year-old boys, and, well, apparently, I don't know how to turn when I run, because I ran right into a wall, and I hit up the side of my face pretty solidly, scraped it up. I actually still have a little bit of, like, the scar up here from it, from the brush burn. But yeah, I had a nice, like, juicy red and then black eye. I preached the next day. You can actually find that video online. I'm actually going to put a link so you can see what my face looked like the next day when I was preaching. It actually looks pretty great.
Yeah.
But yeah, big black eye. So when I got back to the monastery, you know what? I think the first thing Bosco asked was like, oh, are you playing rugby this summer? Like, oh, yeah, that's exactly what I was doing. But yeah, dude. Yeah, the team. But back to, like, your question. Like, I actually didn't find any difficulty really. Like, I mean, you know, I've been on sports teams growing up. But the rugby just has such a good atmosphere. You can beat the crap out of the other team. But then after the game, your bros, like, we had tacos.
Yeah.
With, like, the team, this one team that we beat. And they were great. They were super chill about everything. And the Grove City guys, like, when you talk, like, on the field, I detested them because they were our number one rival. Off the field, though, they're, like, the chillest guys. They're so cool.
Yeah, and, like, especially when the game's kind of out of hand. Like, I've been a part of some games that you weren't there, like, with St. Vincent or with the Pittsburgh Harlequins. And, like, if the game's out of hand towards the end, you know, you're getting ready to scrum. They're like, hey, you guys want to hang out after this? Like, come down to the hotel? Like, we'll just, like, have a good time, you know? And, no, it's just really, really cool that you can just, like, be all friendly. Then 10 seconds later, you're beating the crap out of each other. But it's, there's a lot of respect there because there weren't very many dirty players that we played against. There were a few, but...
Yeah, no, I only remember, like, two really dirty guys. One purposely headbutted me in the nose. But his own teammate, like, pulled him back. He's like, what the heck are you doing? You can't play like that. So, even other teammates, I'm like, yeah, but...
The one guy that he had a couple of dirty hits on me over the years, and I found out actually when he stopped playing that he was well too old to be playing. Anyway, he wasn't even supposed to be in college. But I was like, oh, well, I took those hits for nothing then. But yeah, that was my first ever sevens tournament before you joined the team. I don't even know what happened. I just wanted to tackle him, and he was way bigger and stronger than me. And you're allowed to stiff arm in rugby. Like, you're allowed to do this when you have the ball, and he just gave me an elbow right to the face. And the scary thing was, I didn't remember that it happened until I saw the film afterward, because the coaches yelled at me, Dan, are you good? And I gave a thumbs up and played the rest of the game. But I was like, oh yeah, I guess that did happen.
Memory loss. Oh, so that's... What do you... Do you know what, like, the worst injury you've seen in a game? Like, live in a game?
I want to say I wasn't there, but the one time... when the B-side went to play that makeup game, it was UPJ and I think Cal U or St. Francis, and somebody, they had to bring an ambulance onto the field. Like, somebody was like, had a full-blown seizure. I wasn't there, but I heard about that, and some of my teammates were there. But seeing, like, a guy get carted off, like, on a stretcher was pretty serious. And obviously, whenever we do, like, our recruitment tables at the college, I would pull up my laptop, and I would find on YouTube, like, 50 of the most gruesome rugby hits that are actually terrifying to watch. And people would be like, don't do it, it's going to scare them away. I'm like, no, it'll attract the right people. Dude.
Yep.
And, but, like, if you look at that and it gets you excited, like, that's the kind of guys we want on the team, you know? Because I see that, I'm like, hey, this looks like fun. Where do I sign up, you know? But, yeah, it was a... I never... It didn't seem that bad when you're actually in the game.
It didn't. It didn't. And, yeah, I know my mom, like, when my parents would watch, a lot of times my mom's like, I don't really want to watch your rugby games. because she would just hear the horror stories. You know, yeah. I would, like, one thing I will really say for rugby is, so, I know I said we didn't have to bring, like, any kind of, like, spiritual thing in this conversation, but I would like to bring in this. So, one of the real difficult things about joining the monastery right after college was having to kind of give up sports, you know, and, like, any hope of ever playing any kind of, like, a good competitive sport again. And I know, like, I could play pickup, and or even intramurals, which the college, I didn't know at that point when I joined the monastery, might still be an option for me, which that ends up being pretty fun. But even some intramurals really leaves a lot to be desired. But I really remember, like, praying, like, kind of a prayer of surrender when I joined the monastery. Like, Lord, you're taking away one thing I thought at the time that was, like, really important to my identity and to my character and my personality and just the stuff I loved doing, which was sports, you know, with my brothers especially. And God, as soon as we really just kind of let things go and surrender, God will give it back to us in the way He has planned for us to have it. So rugby literally fell in my lap, not expecting it at all. And I didn't try to force it. I tried to force volleyball, and it didn't happen. I didn't try to force rugby, boom, there it was.
Yeah.
And what it really, the positive impact it had on me overall was, if anyone knows me, then I'm a very competitive individual. Dan's experienced that, for better or for worse.
I think we both had the same competition in our strength finders in number two.
Yep. If anyone knows my family, we're competitive people. But I can be just, like, aggressive in my competition. And I think I still had, like, a lot of that to be worked out. And rugby just, like, gave me such a healthy outlet that after that 1 year, I mean, yeah, I can still get competitive and still a little bit hot-headed. Not nearly as much anymore. Like, rugby really, like, curtailed that final, like, drive that needed to, like, immaturely be brought out. Now I can be, like, a semi-normal, decent human being on a sports field.
Yeah, and like I think you just get that feeling with rugby, especially like after you play rugby for 80 minutes and you're all beat up. Whatever you were mad about before the game, right. It doesn't matter.
It really
anymore.
Doesn't.
Like,
it doesn't.
it doesn't hurt as bad, you know, because you're just too focused on the physical pain. But I think it was weird too. I don't know if you could experience this, but I remember after the Geneva game, I had said to Matt, like, because during the game it was so much adrenaline, I didn't even like feel the hits that bad. I got stomped right here, like cleated right there, and just like kept on playing like it was nothing. But as soon as we're taking our cleats off, like 5-10 minutes after the game ended, I'm like, you know what? I feel really bad. Like I feel like they just like I got the crap kicked out of me. Like, did you feel that after games too? There's like, afterward.
Absolutely.
You know?
Oh yeah. Waking up the next day. Waking up because most of our games were on Saturdays. Waking up Sunday morning, you know, for monk prayer and monk mass, I would come in to the choir stalls looking like Quasimodo from the Hunchback of Notre Dame. Just like sliding in. Father Sean, who also played rugby, I don't know if you knew that, when he was in college, I would like come in and he would, after prayer, come up to me like, rugby last night? I'm like, yeah. He goes, is anything broken? I said, no, but everything hurts. He goes, all right, you had a good game.
But that's how you know you earned it. Like, you earned the way to, you know, just be lazy the rest of the night. Like, I don't know how guys would go hang out with people or do stuff after playing a game. Like,
I went right to bed.
Take a shower, I'm getting food, and I'm not leaving, you know? But, yeah. But after you do it long enough, like, playing football, too, it was a similar feeling. It was waking up the next day, like, all beat up. It's like, it hurts, but you kind of miss
that
feeling.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think rugby was way more competitive and fulfilling than in real sports ever were, because
1,000%.
I think in real sports were only fun when it wasn't taken. It was taken somewhat seriously, but not too seriously, or not like serious enough, you know. So when you're trying to win, but also don't care that much if you lose, I think that's like the perfect middle ground to really enjoying that. But I mean, maybe God was working through me trying to get you to join, because
there you go.
As soon as I went in there, every single. I think it was after rugby practice, I would go to small group with you.
Mm.
And I'm pretty sure every week I'm like, you're joining. And you're like, I can't, you're joining. And like, it just would not stop, you know?
And that being on rugby with you is what like catalyzed our relationship.
Yeah.
And like, I wonder if you would ever have really gone to spiritual direction with the master, Father Tom Acklin, if like I hadn't played rugby.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, maybe.
I don't know. We don't know. Because small group, there's just so many things, like factors, that God really, in his providence, worked out. A lot of things that I would never have thought, like, this would be necessary, right? And it turned out to be.
Yeah, and you just kind of go for it. Like, even just, like, recruiting and just kind of doing whatever comes to your heart, like, as long as it's a good thing. Like, all those retreats and stuff, I would, like, whoa, he would,
hello.
breaking my chairs. Like, he would do the men's retreat, too, that I would help him with. And I remember it was my job at all the meetings. It would always say my last job was accost people to go to the retreat. And, like, you could see me on camera sometimes, like, just yelling at people. Like, and if it was, like, rugby guys, especially, like, in their face, just, like, cussing them out. But, like, you're going to this freaking retreat, whether you like it or not. Like, and then the numbers, they would go up.
Yeah,
like,
dude. The rugby guys especially were a strong representation at those retreats.
Yeah. And it was just fun. You just kind of got to go off and do it and not think twice about it. So.
Yeah. Good deal. All right, well, that's about all the time we have for today. Thanks, Dan. Glad you could be here today. If you're looking for shoes, you know, check out this guy's stuff.
Yeah, while we're on that business, hit me up.
If you use the code Brotherhood, just kidding. No.
I had my own website, maybe. But.
All right, well, thank you for joining us for another episode of All Good in the Brotherhood. If you enjoyed today, please share it. If you know someone who played rugby that you think it would be cool for them to listen to this podcast, make sure you send it off to them. Please give us a subscribe if you'd be so generous. Ring that notification bell so you don't miss any of our other content. And if you have missed our last podcast episode, you can check that out right here. And we'll just put a random video there or there. How about that? And we'll see, you know, check that one out too. So have a wonderful day. God bless.